as Robin Thompson sings, "I'm living in the sweet Virginia breeze," and this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really right there. You in my life, you got me alone.
Welcome to episode 57 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I am Pete. Sitting alongside me, as always, is my beautiful wife, Gretchen, and we are a regular couple with you on the journey to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. I think I got the couple of words backwards there. That's all right. And we're not drinking. There's not even wine tonight.
No excuse for it.
So nothing in that bottle.
No, just water.
Yeah. So we didn't record last week.
No.
We're going to record twice this week.
Yes.
So I did an interview, a special interview for today's episode, but
yes.
I thought we would have a quick catch up and then do a big, you know, just us episode.
Just
us episode.
Sorry.
In a couple of days. But I wanted to get this interview out there and get maybe two episodes this week.
Oh,
now.
My goodness.
So we're going to do two episodes.
Crazy
to make
talk.
To make up for last week.
Crazy talk.
Well, it's the holiday season, and what better way to torture people
than to have them, us talking?
Than to have them listening to us talk in the basement.
Pretty much.
Or me attempt to interview someone.
There you go.
That's always something special, too.
Yes, it is.
So I think we could get in, maybe get views from the couch in the next episode, or do you have a brief
started a new show.
Oh, all right. Well, we got to hit this then.
Linda's been after me for several weeks now to start this new show called Unanchored. You heard me talk about Below Deck before where, you know, like it's like the mega yacht and these people work on it. Well, this is a group of people that are a part of this like bigger group called the Bucket Lust. So it's kind of like a bucket list, but it's bucket lust. It's PG.
Oh, that's not you just misspeaking.
No. It's not me misspeaking. No. It's real. It's real. Okay. So what they do is a group of friends and they're sailing around the Caribbean and they have a captain and then they actually work the boat. So it's not like they have like, you know, people waiting on them. They do all the cooking. They sail the boat. But it is just, so I'm only 2.5 episodes in and it's just one big party. I mean, but it's like, it's kind of interesting because it's like this whole society of people that like hundreds of people come to this brand, all these different locations. So not always sailing. Like one year they went to Belize and they went skiing. And I mean, it's just like this group of people called the Bucket Lust that they just travel to these locations and they all are like professionals. Like one's a doctor. I mean, they basically work to go on vacation.
What's like the average age of these people?
I want to say they're mid 30s. So one guy just had his birthday and he was 34. So I want to say like 30 to like mid 30s are some of these people.
Is it like an Attack of the Beautiful people?
They are pretty, but not all of them. Like they're average, like, They're all attractive, but they're like average builds and like the guys are, you know, just kind of like some of them are pretty. Like the captain, of course, is gorgeous because, well, he's the captain. But I mean, they're all just, you know, I would say there's like a mix of average and, you know, like good looking people. Nothing, you know, supermodel-esque. I guess there's a couple that are like super pretty, but I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I thought the concept of it is like of the whole like the premise, right? Of like this group of, you know, people that just travel to different locations and just party and have a great time.
So, of course, I had to.
You have to Google.
I had to go to thebucketlust.org.
Yeah, it's so, an org.
And, of course, the obligatory pop-up, which I don't do on my blog because it annoys the living crap out of me. When the pop-up comes to join the mailing list.
Oh,
like if
right.
people want to join the mailing list, they'll figure it out.
Right.
But of course, the pop-up comes up and it says be the first to know about new destinations,
yeah,
mind-blowing events, and plans for world domination. I believe these are anarchists.
Pretty anarchist, though. So, I don't know. So, I'm only 2.5 episodes in.
Well, it does say to apply, please send a headshot.
It does not. So that's my new... So, I watched that, a couple episodes of that today, and I was just intrigued by it all. And, of course, Linda thought I would like it because of the whole, like, sailing aspect of it. And, you know, they're sailing around the Caribbean. They're in the Bahamas right now, but they're, like, gone for, like, a month, basically, on this trip.
That's why I was asking about age, because I don't understand how people get away for long periods of time
like
this.
One's like a real doctor. Like, she's a real doctor. So, but she has her own practice, and so she goes, you know, she works really hard and then takes like a month off. But like, you know, one is like his own entrepreneur, and I mean, it's...
Would you like to know what the some routes are that are coming up?
Oh, what are some of the coming up?
So, coming up June 29th to July 6th.
So, that's a short one.
And then it says /6 to 13. So I don't know if it's two
different
like ones.
Yeah.
But Greece, the Aegean.
Nice.
Sea.
Nice.
And then there's also coming up, in now, basically, 29th of December through the 5th of January, you can go to St. Martin.
So they're filling.
Oh, the St. Martin route. Sorry. There's more that things than that. There's St. Bart's and Antigua.
So their filming was this basically this time frame last year, because it was the episode I watched was New Year's Eve. So it's pretty.
So that was probably last year.
Yeah, last year's.
Yeah. So things that they have ticked off the bucket list include the Sardinian route. So Sardinia and Corsica.
Uh huh.
So we go Italy, France there. Lake Tahoe. There was the Bahamas route.
That's what the show is the Bahamas.
That was New Year's Eve, 1718.
Yep.
And then the Mykonos route, summer 17. Okay, so this is new. So it looks like this started in with New Year's Eve of 16 into 17.
16, okay.
Called the Unbelievable route.
Oh, so one of the girls was talking about how she met, like how she met the crews was when they were in Belize.
So I think that they've only done a handful of these, and this is kind of, this high-end travel thing, though, is taking off. Like, Larry Fitzgerald
right.
is doing, like, custom
travel stuff. I'm telling you. We need to win the lottery.
Well, I was thinking about the business side.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you could,
sure.
You could just make unbelievable, like, cool things, and then you have to go.
Clearly. Because you have to like
right.
help stuff, but like we have
a wine angle on this.
We
really should look at this deeper.
But it was just like, again, though, it's in typical fashion of these, and it's a Bravo show. In typical fashion of the Bravo reality shows, they do the amount of drinking that these people do is just amazing to me. Like, I don't know how they get up in the morning to go, you know, swimming and kayaking and snorkeling and like all these amazing, you know, stuff that the captain puts together for them, and then drink all day and all night. And then I don't get it. I don't.
Well, they're younger.
I know they're.
For the most part, probably.
Yes.
Is there fighting? Because a lot of those Bravo shows are just arguing and fighting.
Well, like I said, I'm only 2.5 episodes in, and they had their first like little fight, and it was over who was making dinner. Like, one girl's like, I thought you were going to make me meatballs. And she's like, well, I thought you were going to make the meatballs. Well, no, you said you're going to make, I mean, honestly, it was the most stupid fight. And then they were fine within 5 seconds. So it was pretty. So I don't know.
So I think for the next year or the next season, if they get another season,
yeah,
they're going to make everybody who's on that boat sit down and watch like 6 seasons of The Housewives. And,
so they can really see how to do
right. And
a
then a producer
trip,
just
yeah.
stands on the side and screams, that's how you do it.
So, yeah, because at first I was like, wow, they're not fighting. Like, it's a catamaran sailboat. So it's not like it's a big size boat. Don't get me wrong. But there's 8 people, I want to say, on the boat. I want to say there's 8 people on the boat, and there's 4 bedrooms, so everyone's sharing up. And
I don't know much about a catamaran, although I do believe that they used to give those away every once in a while on The Price is Right.
They do.
So
yeah.
That's like the extent of my knowledge.
I mean, it's spacious, but it's not that big. It's not like on Below Deck where it's, you know, like you have like these full size bedrooms and bathrooms and stuff. No, this is like a sailboat. So it's nice. Don't get me wrong, but it's small.
Like a coffin?
You would probably consider it like a coffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
You can find somebody else to go with when you're independently wealthy.
When I'm independently wealthy, because I really want to do one of these trips. I don't know.
Well, at least you got a new show going.
This is like my dad. My dad would do this, right? So my dad would go and rent with a bunch of his friends. They would go into the Caribbean, and that's how they got to my brother's wedding 15 years ago. Like, he's rented these sailboats and, you know, just sailed around the Caribbean to different islands and stuff, and him and his friends, they all loved it.
No offense, I just don't want to equate your father and good ideas together.
But it's true. It's true. And like, he obviously not as, I mean, he did it nicely, but I mean, it's not like he's swimming in the money here. So so there's good deals to be had, I guess, is the point, because if my dad can do it, we totally do it.
Well, I mean, if you're doing all the work yourself, I mean, right, all you're doing is borrowing a boat.
Pretty much, that's what you're doing.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like boat Airbnb.
Pretty much.
Ooh. There you go.
There you go. Anyway, so I got a new show.
So how's the training going?
Well, I really want to get back on the treadmill. I do. No, I seriously do. But
did hearing me on it?
No, that had nothing to do with it. I miss my shows. And I can't watch them unless I'm on the treadmill. No, I really do want to get back on the treadmill.
I think they canceled.
Unbreakable?
Yeah, Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, really? That was so good.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of seasons. I mean, how many?
I don't know. I'm only on season 4, and they just keep on going. Only. So I really want to get back on the treadmill, but you've been pretty stressed with work and stuff, so I haven't pushed it. This is your extremely stressful time as far as work is concerned. So I haven't been asking you to go take her in the morning and stuff, but.
But I will.
I know you will.
Even with the stress. So if it's going to free you back up, I need to get back to doing that. That's not a problem at all.
I mean, I haven't asked you either. I've just kind of done it.
And
because,
I haven't volunteered, so.
Yeah. So I do want to get back on the treadmill, at least my 30 minutes. I'm not going to lie. Probably won't run. It's really cold out there. And yeah, just.
Yeah,
but the
running.
Spring.
Yeah.
Watch out, world.
Right. Well, if you can get at least the walking in during
the
winter.
Right, exactly. If I can keep going.
I ran 3.5 miles on the treadmill, and it was nice enough to go outside. But what I decided to do was, if it's nice enough to go outside and I can do 3.5 miles on the treadmill, then when I can't go outside, I might not dread the treadmill as much.
So how'd that work out for
Not
you?
So much.
No?
It was miserable, but I completed it. I wanted, after a half mile, to get off it and just go outside. But instead, I toughed it out. So, you know, there's that.
Did you watch something on TV?
I didn't actually. I listened to a podcast and stared at the wall.
That sounds horrible.
It was absolutely horrific.
Do you think it would be better if you were like watching TV?
Not a ton, but a little bit.
Yeah.
For sure. It would have been a little bit better.
I feel like.
I don't like turning up the TV that loud. We do have like this Bluetooth transmitter thing that we bought, which we never hooked up.
We really should try and hook that up.
We should hook that up.
Because I bet that would help. Because, yeah, it gets really loud.
It is. It's loud and it's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And I still miss words. So it's not.
Yeah.
It's not great.
And you can't turn on closed captioning while you're trying to run and read. I feel like that could be dangerous.
Well, so that's what I was doing. So my treadmill show for a long time was Man in the High Castle on Amazon. And it has a lot of subtitles because there's Japanese being spoken.
Nice.
There's German being spoken. And so I can't do that one anymore. My new binge. I'm only 20 years late to the party, but The West Wing is really good.
I did not watch that at all.
Me either. So I never had seen an episode.
Yeah.
I don't know why I resisted it so much, but I never watched
it. Because it was the cool thing to do.
Maybe, because I'm a rebel.
You are.
I'm counterculture.
Yeah.
That's how most people describe me.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't, because I love politics like that.
I
don't discuss them much anymore.
No.
On purpose, but I love the behind the scenes kind of stuff because I figured there's got to be some truth even in the fiction.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really well done. And the amazing thing is the show is, I think it went off the air in 06. So, I mean, I'm watching 99, 2000, right? So this is 18 years ago.
And when
same issues, same arguments, same exact stuff going on in the world. And I kid you not,
That's
it is
awesome.
All the same. Except there's not as much about terrorism. There's some.
Oh, right.
There's some.
Yeah.
But there's not as much. So when, yeah. But once I get past the O to the 01
right.
episodes, that'll filter in.
Yeah.
And then, but it's the exact, I mean, it's the exact same issues. It's unbelievable. But they do a really good job. The acting's great.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying it.
I mean, it won award. I mean, it won like a billion awards. So, I mean.
Well, I think all politicians should have to watch it because at least there's some civility at some points.
We don't know what that's like anymore.
Yeah, right. So that's been.
So that's your binge lately.
That's been my binge lately. It's a lot of fun to watch or listen to mostly. Yeah. But it's good. So, and my training has improved.
Yes.
I'm kind of back into a better groove, although I have my eating still not, it's up and down.
Yeah.
So I've got to get that really, I got to harness that in because the nutrition definitely makes an impact on the training runs.
Yeah.
So I need to harness that in and the weight, I want it to come off, but it's more about how I feel at this
yeah.
point. But the weight will make me feel better too.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, I made an Instapot dinner tonight, pork chops.
Yeah,
with a creamy mushroom sauce. It actually called for flour to thicken, so it wasn't a keto one. It was just one that I use our tapioca, a little bit of tapioca flour. You don't have to use a lot of that to get it thick. So it still wasn't as thick as I thought it was. So I probably needed. A little bit more to thicken it, but
it was
more
a sauce than a gravy.
Right. Yeah. And I think they really wanted it more gravy-esque.
I would agree just by the flavor yeah. profile,
but it was still tasty.
You adapted it to what
right.
we need to do. So.
Yeah. And Michaela enjoyed it, except then she like ate like six bites and then she's like, I need barbecue sauce. I'm like, but you're eating it. You like it. And I even put like sauce over it. And I'm like, you're eating it, baby. She's like, no, I need barbecue sauce.
Well,
I'm
she
like,
loves barbecue
I'm
sauce.
Like, okay. So then she almost ate an entire pork chop plus her salad. So I was proud of her.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of kids, I want to congratulate my daughter, Lily.
Yes.
And her team who got third in state over the weekend for cheerleading in their division. It was so much fun to watch her. The rest of them I could have passed on.
a little too much glitter for you.
There's a lot of glitter and inappropriate makeup on young girls.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of fun to see how excited these kids get. And their team did really well. I thought they performed very well. Lily really hit. I could see the progress from the first time she got back into it this year to now and how much just solid her flips and gym, what do you call that? The tumbling passes.
Yeah.
Her standing tuck.
Yeah.
I mean, she's doing things that I can't imagine doing without severely injuring myself before I got even a quarter of the way into it. So
I know. She's doing great.
Yeah. And there's scary times, right? Cause these poor kids, they fall and they miss a tuck. And the last performance is, some special kids who come out and do a performance. Remember that from last time?
Yeah, yeah.
And they did it again. And they're just, it's amazing to see their spirit and how excited.
Right.
It really was great. Everybody gave a standing ovation.
Of course.
So that was cool. So that was really fun. Yeah. And, you know, I've been getting my runs in however I can get them in.
Yeah.
Not exact, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But close. And I'm getting the miles in.
That's the important part.
And this week I'm determined to get every run in one way or the other. It's going to be tough. This week is my first 16 miler. So it's another new record for me.
Oh, boy.
On distance. But that's a long, three and a third hours out there
that's
or something
a long time.
For me.
It's a long time.
Somebody who was out there for less time than that to run an entire marathon.
I know. It's crazy.
Is our friend Holly Ann.
She's insane.
And she's qualified for Boston 2020. So that's just incredible.
You're already looking at airfare. Well, we can't look at airfare, but you're looking at hotels, I'm sure.
I'm looking. I mean, they're going to need support.
Of course.
And it's not a bad road trip. I'll drive there.
True.
I think it would be so awesome. I've always wanted to go, but I kind of want to go in 19 also because, Sarah qualified. So
true.
You know, there's a lot of. Maybe it needs to be an annual tradition.
Oh, my goodness. I can see our vacations now centering around other people's running as well.
I think that could become true. I actually like that idea a lot.
There we go.
So, that was a lot of fun. And, so I I didn't have this plan, but I found, as for whatever reason, I was looking for something else. And today, tonight, up popped an article with the most popular names of the year.
Okay.
So, most popular girl names. Have you seen this for 2018?
No.
Nine of the 10 names end in A.
Okay.
I just think it's so interesting.
Random thought.
Well, but
is,
I mean,
is Michaela
people
on there?
Michaela's not on there.
Good. I don't want her to be the most popular. She's got to be unique.
Sophia is number one.
Oh.
Olivia. Emma.
Emma, yeah.
Ava. Notice all the A's. Ava. Yeah. Isabella.
Huh?
Aria. A-R-I-A. I would assume
Aria.
That's Aria.
Yeah.
Riley. There's your there's your outlier.
Yep.
Amelia. Mia. And Layla.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a Clapton song, right? Layla?
No.
Boys' names. I was looking, okay, what's the theme for boys then?
Yeah.
And one, two, three, four, five, six of them end in N.
Okay.
So, but I mean, you've got 10, right?
And how did this come up? Like, this is like such a random, this is like a segue for me. Like, this isn't your segue.
I know, but I think it's interesting. So do you have any guesses on the most
number
popular
one?
Boys' name of the year? Have you seen people naming their kids anything in particular?
Ivan.
Ivan's not on the list, but it's a great name. We've got a friend, Ivan.
Yeah.
Number one is Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
With a CK, not an X.
Yeah.
Two is Liam.
Oh.
Then Noah. Quite biblical.
Yeah.
Aiden.
Oh.
Caden. Little rhyming.
Yeah.
Grayson. So a lot of N's right there at the top. Lucas. Mason, Oliver,
making a comeback.
Elijah.
Oh,
I'm wondering if Oliver doesn't come from Arrow, because his name is Oliver.
I don't know.
Ollie. Okay, so least popular girls' names. Any guesses as to what's not going well this year? Gretchen's not on the list. Emerson.
Oh.
Is number one. Quinn.
Yeah.
Elena.
Oh.
Julia. That kind of surprised me because that's been popular for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Jocelyn. Sorry, Jocelyn. I know.
But maybe she wants to be unique.
Right. Vivian. Delilah. Willow. Allison. And London.
Huh.
And then for the boys, again, N's are all over the place.
I feel like a lot of guys' names end in N, though.
Yeah, not mine.
No.
Weston. I didn't even know that was. I thought that was a hotel.
That is a hotel.
No offense to any Westons out
no.
there.
No.
Or your kids.
No.
Declan. And
oh, I know a Declan.
Well, that Megan, who's our distributor friend, Raphael,
yeah.
Megan's kid, they have a kid named Declan
oh,
James.
Oh, that's why I know.
And she her kids all the time.
I'm like, why did I know that name?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that name.
My mom and sister's late cat, Xander. Jason.
Aw.
Theodore.
Oh,
Chipmunk.
Then, yeah.
Micah.
Oh, I know a girl that's name is Micah.
I did too. In
Peoria. Well, she's a baby, but yeah.
Jonathan.
I knew a guy named Micah, too, in college. Okay, Jonathan.
Yeah. Rowan.
Oh.
Austin.
Aw.
And Evan.
Aw.
Least popular.
That's sad.
For the name. I don't know why I just read 40 names off, but I found it interesting.
Great podcasting.
Now on
to
the Fat Man Chronicles Hour, we will read random lists.
That's funny.
All right. Well, so here's what I did without you.
No, I was working.
You were working. I interviewed Jason Todd, who is the race director at the One City Marathon in Newport News, Virginia. Why would I pick some random race director? Well, if you've been paying attention, that's where I will run my first race.
First marathon.
Marathon, yeah, not race. My first marathon. Coming up on March 3rd.
Yes.
And I will be joined now by Rob.
Yes.
Rob Bozovich will be joining me there.
Yes.
And
Kevin will be soon.
I don't know about that.
Oh, that's right. He's retired. Quote unquote retired.
Yeah. Well, but Rob will be there and he's going to run with me, which
that's awesome.
So he's going to pay to run with me.
He can like walk.
Yeah. I'll return the support favor. I won't run with him, but I will return the favor of support when he runs Chicago.
Yes.
In 2019. I will not be running Chicago because once again, did not get picked.
Did
in
he
the
get
lottery.
Picked?
Rob got picked.
He has like the best luck. He needs to enter for you. Can he do that?
Well, you know, so this year I don't know. It's okay that I'm not in. I can do some other things, some trails, maybe some hiking.
Right.
I've got other things in mind too, but it would have been cool to be in there.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think
it is the Chicago Marathon.
I just think it's funny because like, you know, Rob just seems to like every lottery he enters. He went. Does he play the like money lottery? Because seriously,
I don't believe he does. I mean, we could ask him, but I don't believe he does. He'll listen to this and he'll text me.
Yeah, he'll just text and let us know.
And he'll let me know. So, I think it was a fun interview with Jason, and hopefully people get some good stuff out of it. And hopefully you'll join us there in March. Let's get over to the interview. All right, now we move over to an interview with Jason Todd, the race director over at the One City Marathon. And as I've said, I'm making this my first marathon, and I really thought it would be fun to reach out to Jason, kind of hear a little bit about him and the race, and find out if I've chosen wisely. So here we go. Jason, welcome to the Fat Man Chronicles.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with a little bit about your background, you know, who you are and what got you into racing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have a company here locally in Newport News called Flat Out Events. And it kind of started as just a side thing that I did to help out a friend. He has some restaurants here in the area. They had decided to put on a local 5K. And he had asked me to just come out and help. So I started doing that. We really enjoyed it. From there, we had a local theme park, Busch Gardens, had reached out to my friend about partnering on a race. And one thing just kind of led to another. And now we've been doing this for close to 10 years. So,
well, that's fantastic. And so you're out in Newport News, Virginia. That's where you're based?
That's right. Yep.
Excellent. So what, how long ago then did the marathon come into play?
Yeah, so back in 2014, we got a new city manager here in Newport News, and he was looking for a way to really have an event that united the entire city. We have a very long and narrow city, and it kind of gets broken into almost three individual cities, the north, central, and south. So he was looking for a way to kind of pull all of that together in a single event and started the marathon. And so that was 2014. Our inaugural year was 2015. And this will be our fifth year in 2019.
Well, now the name of the One City Marathon makes a lot more sense to me. I was wondering about that. And
I didn't
snoop through the website to find much about the story. Are you a runner yourself?
I am. I wouldn't have claimed that, 10 years ago. I've always been active, but never really loved running. And then once I started, having a family and your free time gets taken up a little bit, I still wanted to stay active and go into the gym, and playing athletics, takes time. So I found that I could just run right from my house and ran my first race and saw that there was the competitive nature of it too, and that I liked, so I kept it going, and now I guess I'm officially a runner.
I feel you there. I mean, it took me a long time. I say I've been trying to become a runner for decades, but it finally took here in my later 40s. So, so tell us a little bit more about the marathon, kind of the size of the field, the type of course it is. Walk us through a little bit of the miles there.
Sure. Well, as the name states, it is all within the city of Newport News, which is pretty cool. I mean, most of the time you go run races, they either have to do, kind of an out and back course or a loop course. This is a point to point race from one end of our city to the other. So that's pretty cool. We also have within the marathon a marathon relay. So if there's people that say aren't up for the marathon challenge yet, you can team up with as many as a team of as large as four people and take it on together, breaking down the legs. And then in our fifth year this year, we're actually adding a half marathon for the first time. So we'll have a total of five events when you throw in the 8K and the fun run distance as well. So the field size has typically been, you know, in the 400 to 500 range. So it is a very, you know, small in comparison to, you know, some of the larger events. But I think it also is very intimate in that way. The community comes out. And one thing that the runners are always remarking about is how the community support is so strong. You run through several of the neighborhoods on your way through the city. Run through one of the universities in our city. And so it's great. I mean, the high schools get involved, and being that it's a city event, there's just a lot of, you know, city appeal all the way around through the event.
And from what I was reading, it's a pretty flat course overall.
Yeah. There's very few hills or inclines, you know, depending on where you're from. You might come here and say there's none, but for us who don't really have hills around here, people tend to think that some of these things are mountains. But yeah, it's very flat, very very fast. We've had over a 17% Boston qualifier rate, you know, so pretty good percentage there. We actually had two women last year run the Olympic time trial qualifying time, so. We're getting faster and faster runners here, and I think it's becoming a place where people come and try to get that Boston qualifying time.
That's fantastic. So you said the size has been in the 400 to 500 range. With adding the half marathon, how many do you expect to come out and join you for that?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's hard to project. You know, we're thinking that at least the same in the half, maybe more. Right now it would indicate it's going to be a little more. And when I say 400 to 500, that's just the marathon event. As a whole, the event has typically drawn somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 people. So we also have a lot of people in the other events, the relay, the 8K, and our nautical mile event, as well.
Do you stagger starts? How does that work?
Yeah. We have staggered starts, prior to us having the marathon, or the half marathon, I'm sorry. So the marathon and the marathon relay had started at 7 a.m. And then the 8K started a little later, and then the fun run even later. This year, with adding the half, both the half and the marathon, and of course the marathon relay, will all start at 7 a.m. The 8K will then start at 8:15, and the fun run will start at 10:30.
Do you do a wave or corral start?
No, we haven't. For the marathon, we haven't. Just because we have plenty of room where we're starting. It starts in what's called Newport News Park, a big park at the north of our city. And the space throughout the park, which is really the first mile plus of the run, is very wide. So we don't do any type of wave starts for the marathon. We have for the smaller races, but just because of space and the number of participants.
Sure. And being a smaller race, do you have pacers or anything like that?
Yeah, we still try to make it have all of the components that you know the bigger races have. So we do have pacers. We plan on having pacers for both the half and the full this year. So yeah, got one of the local running clubs that has helped us out, and a new group that's going to come in and help us with the half marathon this year.
Fantastic. So is it, where do they kind of cap out at? Do you have pacers up to 4.5 hours, 5 hours?
I think we've typically been, maybe four, maybe up to five. Yeah. I think it's gotten up to five.
That's great. That's a nice feature for a smaller race. Not all of them have that.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons that I chose to come out there. I mean, being in Chicago, it wasn't next door to, you know, spend the first weekend in March out in Newport News.
Right.
But I was looking for something that was flat and that was a little bit on the smaller side, but would still have kind of all the amenities of a bigger race. Mm-hmm. And that, through my research, narrowed the field quite a bit. And, you know, yeah. I would love to do my hometown race someday of Chicago. But, you know, I was nervous my first time out going for a full that there would be just kind of too much time standing in corrals and hours before you would really get to the race. And here you don't have that. So that was one of the selling points for me on it. What other selling points do you have for us here if people want to join out there?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, again, the point-to-point course is a nice feature. You know, I think especially your first one, you know, you're thinking so much about the, you know, what you're doing and did you, you know, is your training going to hold up, and you're worried about those kinds of things. But the change of scenery, the variety along the course, that all really, you know, helps, I think. I think, you know, the community support again is great. You know, you'll see, several of the high schools out, several of the communities out. Those are all going to be really nice. So, I mean, I think we do have the organization of a big, you know, a big race. I have people locally here that came to Chicago this year and ran, and they come back and say, you know, you guys do, you know, just as good a job here. You should really talk about, you know, how good this race is, and it kind of has the major marathon feel, and you know, doesn't have all the congestion, the people, and like you said, you know, some of the things that you would run into doing that larger race.
How's the weather typically on race day?
Well, it, you know, Virginia, it has some temperamental weather. You know, it could be one thing one day and completely different the next. So we've had a bit of a variety. The last 2 years have been a little on the colder side. 2 years ago, we actually had a little bit of a weather scare. We thought we might be seeing some precipitation that morning. Luckily, it cleared up, but it was still, I think, in the upper 20s when we started. But the year before that, I think it got into the 70s on race day. So you never know. You never really know around here.
Sure. You're kind of right on water there, right? So does the maritime influence help?
Does the marathon influence help?
The sea, like, is there a buffer on some of that weather, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we are on a peninsula. So we're surrounded by water on three sides, and the course runs right along the river, basically. I mean, you're in the neighborhoods and along the road, but you're not very far from the river the entire time. So, we definitely see some interesting stuff.
That's awesome. So a couple of questions on like the route. So it's point to point. You're saying you go through some neighborhoods, a campus. Are there any, do you feel like there's crowd support like throughout the course, or are there times where you're in between where people are going to be congregated?
Yeah, I think you'll hit some patches that are heavier than others. Obviously inside the neighborhoods, people just tend to come right out on the road and gather. The high schools tend to kind of strategically, you know, place themselves. If they're not on the course, others will come to the course in certain areas. But yeah, you'll have some areas that are quieter too. You actually run through one of the parks. It's the Mariners Museum. We have a museum and they have a park on their property. You run through that. Not likely that there will be anyone in there, but it's a nice, you know, nice quiet place to run. So you know, again, just getting the variety of, you got the crowd part in some of it, and then you got like the nice serene you know, running experience in some of it. So when you get downtown on the south end of the course, you actually are at where Newport News Shipbuilding is, and it's basically the biggest business, I think, in Virginia, where they build a lot of the Navy ships. So it's a very industrial area, you know, a lot of buildings and parking and things like that. Until you really get down to the finish, there's going to be some quieter spots down there. But, you know, I think it kind of shows who we are, too. You know, you get to really see what Newport News is all about, because you see all areas of it, you know, along the route.
Tell us a little bit about the aid stations. How far apart are they, and are they what kind of stuff they're stocked with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to keep them 2 miles at the most. All of them, of course, are going to have water. At every other aid station, starting at the second aid station, we'll also have Gatorade. And then we have two aid stations further down the course that have the goo packs as well. I think that might be like 10 and or aid station 5 and 7, I believe it is.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The route then takes you from the north to the south. And you said, is the south where you said is that more of a business district then?
No, I would say it's industrial. It's a shipyard. So when you get down there, it definitely, a lot of the residential kind of goes away. You're in more of an industrial area, but it's also our downtown. Our city hall is down there right at the finish line, all of our courthouse buildings and things. So it's an interesting place, unless you work there, you might not go there a whole lot, but just from me having worked on the marathon, I've obviously spent a lot of time down there, and I've kind of started, become very fond of it. I think it's a pretty interesting finish. As you come down, you kind of start to get into that area, and I think it's a pretty interesting last mile or two to finish up the race.
Cool. So I've never done a point-to-point race before. Tell me how that works with start and finish, and mm-hmm. How does that all come together for you?
Yeah, so the way that we chose to do it was because of the shipyard being down at the finish line and having so much parking down there, because they have, I think, over 20,000 employees there. They have tons of parking, so we chose to park everyone at the finish and shuttle to the start lines. So we'll do that for the marathon. We do that for the marathon relay. So depending on where you're starting, which leg of the marathon relay you're running, we take you to different locations along the course. We'll also do that for the half marathon this year. So we bus everyone from the finish out to wherever they need to be, and then just have them run back down to us.
Interesting. Okay. So how early do you have to get there before your race time? How often do the buses run?
Yeah, so we start running buses as early as, I think, 5 a.m., and they're running from about 5 a.m. until just at 6. We might run, like, one or two buses after 6, but our goal is to try to get everyone to their start areas, about an hour before the start of the race, so they have time to, get themselves situated, use the bathroom, do whatever they need to do, not feel rushed before the start of the race.
Are there where people typically stay, hotels and such? Are they close then to the finish, to the start, or in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, all of our hotels are pretty central to the city. So if people are traveling in and staying at one of our host hotels, we have shuttles that run from the hotel to the start lines, and then we have shuttles that will be at the finish to bring them back to their hotel. So it's a benefit if you're traveling in to stay at one of those one of the partner hotels. But if you're driving, one way or the other, yeah, you're going to be in the middle of the city. So, you'll have to travel up to the north and get dropped off, or you can travel to the south and park and get on a bus. I mean, you kind of have to plan a little bit around that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. We're staying at one of the host hotels. So that was one of the nice parts. I noticed the shuttle. That's great.
Yeah.
So not to treat you like a Chamber of Commerce representative, but if people are traveling in, or, they're bringing their loved ones with them, what else can they do, after the race? You conquer this marathon or half marathon and you want to do some fun stuff with your family. What else is going on out there?
Yeah. Like I said, we have the Mariners Museum is kind of a cool place. Kind of shows the maritime history of the city. They've changed their admission to just be $1 now. So, all you gotta do is go pay $1 and you get to enjoy the museum. So if you were here, say, later in the day, Sunday or even Monday, that would be maybe a good stop. We have a lot of, good restaurants, and, just before the marathon, there's, a local event where they have a restaurant feature week, like where they're highlighting all the local restaurants. And some of the restaurants actually offer our runners, if you bring your bib or your medal in or something, you save some money on your meal. So checking out some of the local restaurants would be a good thing. We're only about 30 to 45 minutes from Williamsburg as well. So Williamsburg, Virginia, Jamestown, you got Busch Gardens. So there's a lot of history and things that you can go check out up in Williamsburg as well, and not be too far from here in Newport News.
That's fantastic. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure I'll be trying as many restaurants as I can in the few days that were there. And then did I read something about a brewery too?
Yep. So we have a brewery that opened up in Newport News called Tradition Brewery. It's been open for, I think, about 2 years now, a little over 2 years. And ever since they opened, they've partnered with us in brewing a beer just for the race. And so they offer that on race weekend. Our pasta dinner that takes place on Saturday night is actually going to be at the brewery this year as well. So, if you come to Carb Load, you can try out. I know people don't really want to drink a whole lot the night before, but you try out a beer while you're there. But they'll be open the Sunday after the race as well, so you can come back and try some of the other beers as well.
Awesome. So if other people were thinking about joining you for the marathon or the half, what are kind of your three things or top three things on like why somebody should come out to Newport News, One City, and run this?
Yeah. I like I've kind of said in some of your other questions, I think that it's on par with all of the, big marathons as far as the execution. We constantly have people tell us, how well it was executed, how well organized it is. So I think you're getting, the experience you could get at a big race minus all of the crowded and cluster, that you would get there. I think it's a very interesting course. And we have a great after party as well. The city of Newport News special events team throws an after party following the race. Traditions out there with beer. We have various types of food, sometimes food trucks, sometimes other restaurants get involved, but just a good atmosphere after the race to celebrate and enjoy. And I think it's I'm biased, but I think it's a great race. So so those will be my reasons.
Awesome. And then what are the costs, and are there early bird, does it go up in price? How do you structure that?
Yeah. I mean, we're just like any other race, the earlier you register, the better. Obviously, we're only, 3 months away, a little under 3 months now. So we're probably about in the middle of the registration pricing. But I think it's a pretty fair priced marathon for, the cost of races these days. Our marathon starts at $75, which, you might pay that for a half in some places. The earlier you register, the better. So I think right now it may be $85 or $90 to sign up for the marathon.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. All right, cool. So if people want to learn more about it, where do they go? Website, social media, anything going on?
Yeah, all that. So we've got the website, onecitymarathon.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Again, onecitymarathon.com. We've been actually running a lot of contests and things. I believe we've got a 12 Days of Christmas thing coming up here in the next few weeks. So another opportunity to win some prizes, win some discounts, things like that. So you want to stay tuned to all that stuff. You may end up, running for free if you get one of those contests right. So definitely want to stay plugged in on social media.
Yeah, I'll definitely make sure that I go over there too and get plugged in and I'll tag the race and when we post the episode here in a day or two. So yeah, I think it'll be great. A lot of fun. I know of at least one other person that is going to come out now, and hopefully a few more decide to come join us. We can get a little podcast crew out on the course there.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. I really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to get out there and make the One City Marathon my first.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We're honored that you chose it to be your first. So we look forward to to giving you a great experience.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right. Thank you.
Well, while you guys were listening to the interview with Jason, hopefully you enjoyed it. I just kept reading lists to Gretchen.
Just random, I fell asleep a little bit.
Random lists on anything I could find. But anyway, I really appreciate Jason coming on, and I got some good info about the race, and hopefully we'll see one or two more of you join us out there. What? You're looking around the ceiling. What's going on?
Oh, I picked up some stuff for the baby. I gave away some of Michaela's toys, and I just started thinking about where I was going to put new stuff, and my mind just kept on.
Yeah, thanks for being here for the podcast. Super appreciate it.
Well, you said you're going to do the wrap up, you know?
But I was talking and looking at you. Your mind is wandering.
Okay.
Literally, your head was wandering around the ceiling.
I was just looking at them like, oh, that needs to go away. That should move over. Yeah.
That was great. All right. We'll just wrap it up real quick then. So thanks again to our guest, Jason Todd, from the One City Marathon in Newport News, Virginia. You've been listening to episode 57 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You guys know where to find us on social. It's at Fat Man Stories. Go to fatmanchronicles.com. See some old blog posts. Some news about that coming up for my goals for 2019. That will be included in my little goal list there. If you want to get some FMC gear, fatmanchronicles.com/shop. If you could give us a little rating and review, that'd be the best holiday gift ever. Give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or wherever your favorite podcast app is. And as always, thanks to our patrons, Amy, John, Christine, Rob, Julie, and Linda. Now, let's get out there and be better today.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And now